Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope y'all can understand my southern accent. It's here and it is what it is, and so we're going to have to go with it, all right? I say a lot of y'alls, yens, all right? So
we should be good with it.
We're all right with it, all right? So I appreciate y'all asking me to come this morning and ministering the Word of God to you. It is a little uncomfortable for me to do this outside of my home church. I'm used to them. They're used to me. And so, and I come from a Pentecostal background, y'all. So if I yahoo every now and then, y'all just have to go with me too. All right? So you just have to go with the flow. But I really have sought the Lord about what that I feel like that He would want for me to bring this morning. I am a teacher by trade. I taught school for several years. And so I feel much more comfortable teaching. So I'm not going to say I'm going to preach to you this morning. We're going to teach. All right? I taught school for several years, and then I homeschooled all of my children through to graduation and one halfway through college. I'm used to the teaching part. So, and I'm also, like I said, I come from a Pentecostal background. If y'all want to say amen, that's all right too. All right. So we're going to go to the word of the Lord this morning in 2 Kings chapter 4 in verses 1 through 7. The Lord's really laid on my heart. What do we have? What do we already have that we're not using for Him? And the scripture goes, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except for a little jar of oil.' And he said to her, 'Go outside and borrow vessels from all of your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside.' So she went from him and she shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest.'" Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we honor you and we thank you for this time that you've given us to come into your house. Lord, to lift up our hands and to lift up our hearts and to worship you. This morning, I ask that your word be blessed in this place this morning. Lord, I ask for your anointing to be able to, Lord, bring the word that you've given me for this house this morning. Lord, I ask you to anoint our hearts and our ears that we would hear and we would understand and we would take and live out what you have for us this morning. We'll give you the praise and the honor for all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
So this morning, the Lord gave me this scripture. And it tells us of the story of about a widow woman whose husband has died, but he was a servant of the Lord. And in his dying, though, he owed some debts to some people. And it almost sounds like the mafia, doesn't it? I mean, to me, it kind of sounds like the mafia. You don't pay your debts, we're coming to get you, all right? You know, we're going to take your sons if you don't pay the debt. That's kind of where I feel like that this debtor was, but that was just the custom of the day. If you didn't pay your debts, you owed your children to whoever you owed that debt to. And so when she come to this point in her life where her husband was gone and her children were going to be taken from her, there was a few things about this mama that I kind of connected with, and I want to share those things, a few things that I want us to look at about her and about the situation that she was in. The first thing that I noticed about her, that was when trouble came to her house, she didn't take off running for anybody else. She went straight to the Lord. That's somewhere that I think that that we as Christians anymore, we tend to look to ourselves or we look to someone else other than God first. The first thing that this woman did was she went to the man of God. Today's society, had this happened to her, she could have went to a bankruptcy court. That was not in the Mosaic law. That was not something that she was capable of doing, or not anything that she was prohibited from doing that. So the debt collectors were coming to get her children. How many mamas in the house would stand and fight for your children? We need to stand and fight for the souls of our children. Daddies, y'all need to stand in the gap for your children. This is what this mama was doing. She was standing there waiting for a word from God, and the Lord sent. So for her, her first thought was, take it to God. We need to do that. Sometimes I think in the American church, we have forgotten who God is. We have forgotten that He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He's everything that I need. I don't need one other thing than God whenever I'm in trouble. I don't need to go to my neighbor and tell her all my troubles. I need to go to God and tell God all my troubles. He's the only one who can actually fix what's going on in my life when I have trouble come to my home. We have forgotten that He is Jehovah Rapha, that He is our healer. When we get sick, what's the first thing we do? When COVID came, the first thing we did was do what the government told us to do and buckle down. We didn't need to do that. We needed to stand as a united church and say, hey, God, there's something here that the devil's tried to put on us, and we're not going to take it. You're going to heal it. We need to. When cancer comes visiting my house, I need to say, Lord, your will be done, not my will be done. And I'm asking for healing. We have that authority in the name of Jesus to be able to say, you are my healer. You promised me my healing. I'm going to take my healing today. We've got that. We need to remember there was a lot of people in the Bible, when we read in Scripture, that didn't turn to anybody else, but they turned to the Lord. When David was up against the giant, the first thing that he said, the battle's not mine. It belongs to the Lord. How many of us are fighting battles that are not our battle? None of these are my battles. These are battles that happen in the heavenlies. Most of the time, they happen in the heavenlies. And we have the authority in the name of Jesus to go and say, this is not my battle, just like David did. He said, the battle's not mine. It is yours, O Lord. And so I'm going to let you fight that battle for me. The thing that I notice I do for myself is that I say, Lord, here it is. I'm laying it at your feet. And then as soon as I turn and walk away, I go, I better go pick that back up because, you know, I think I can help God do this. God doesn't need my help. God doesn't need an ounce of my help. There's nothing that I could do. There were Daniel. You look at Daniel when he was thrown into a den of hungry lions and he stared him down all night. What did he do? He prayed all night long. He didn't try to grab that lion and tear it apart. He sat there and said, Lord, this is yours. I pray. I pray that this will pass. And guess what? All night long, he stood with those hungry lions, and they never touched him. There were three little boys that were Hebrews, and the Bible says that the fire that they were put in because they were worshiping God. Let me just side note here and take a rabbit trail, just real quick. Get prepared, people, because the day's going to come in America where they're going to try to throw us into a fiery furnace for serving God. We may think that it's not happening because it's not happening here. But if you know anything about people that are on the mission field right now, they're being killed left and right because they're serving God and because they're trying to train up people to serve God. So we need to be prepared. But I digressed. So there I go. So what we do when they fired up that furnace for those Hebrew boys, they fired it up 7 times hotter than it had ever been fired before. And the Bible says that the people that put those boys in that furnace died because of the heat that was coming off of that. So in my mind, I'm like, if they died, why didn't the Hebrew boys run? Because God wanted to prove His power. So I'm thinking they just walked right on in there. And guess who walked in there with them? Jesus. The Bible said that when the king looked over and he said, didn't we just put 3 boys in that fire? I see four walking around, and one is likened to the man, like the Son of God. When we're going through it, like this woman was going through it in this, we have to rely and we have to know that God is on our side and He is going to walk with us even through the fire. And we have to have this, the same mindset that these little Hebrew boys said. Whether He delivers us from the fire or through the fire, yet will I serve my God. I'm not going to let the enemy steal my joy, and he's not going to steal my salvation. No matter how I have to walk, no matter what I have to walk through, I'm going to serve God. Can I tell you, this year has been a year of trial for the Moses household. I don't know how many of y'all know, but my husband died in February from taking the COVID shot. The COVID shot killed my husband. I'll just put that out there. He had it one day, and the next day he couldn't walk. And from there, 2 months later, he passed away. Not even a month later, my daughter's 26-week-old baby died. But I have to have the mindset that no matter what, I have to walk through this year. No matter what, I have to walk through next year. This mama had to have the mindset that no matter if they come to take my children, I'm still going to serve God. But in the meantime, I'm going to work as hard as I can to make sure that don't happen. We've got to do some things on our own. The second thing that I noticed about this lady was her expectation of God's provision was not what it should have been. When Elisha asked in verse number 2, "What do you have in your house?" She said, "Nothing, except this little old jar of oil over here." How many times do we limit what God has and what He has given us? Why do we think that God, who owns it all, who created it all, can't provide for me and my household? We've got to get it in our minds that we're not going to minimize what God can do. We have to say God's ability is so much more than mine, and I have to let Him use what He's given me to help me. There are some things from the Bible. There's a couple of stories in the Bible where God took things. Like this woman said, "I don't have anything. All I've got is this little jar of oil. What are you going to do with my little jar of oil?" Well, God can do a lot when it's blessed by Him. So if you remember in Scripture the story of Lazarus, when Lazarus died, his sisters came and said, "Lord, you've waited too late." Why were they limiting a limitless God? Why were they saying, why do we have that mindset that we can put limits on a limitless God? There was another story in the Bible where Jesus takes a little boy's lunch. He called his disciples, said, "We got to feed these people out here. They're hungry. You won't want 5,000 hangry men, right?" So men can get hangry when they're hungry. That's just truth right there. Y'all take that to the bank. Amen. I got me an amen on that one. Men can get hangry. So Jesus didn't want them hungry. You notice every time He had a group following Him, He did something for them. So Andrew come running with this little 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes and said, "Lord, this is all we've got. This ain't even enough for me and that boy back there." You know, but Jesus blessed it. When we give Jesus what we've got, He will bless it. We need to understand that the anointed of God is what we need in our lives. How often do we underestimate the anointing of God? How often do we underestimate what God has given us in here? Not just necessarily in our house like the woman had, the bottle of oil, but what has God given you? What talent do you possess that you can use for the kingdom of God? What do you have in your house that God can say, go in there and start filling it up? We need the anointing. You know, the oil in this story represents the anointing of God. How many of us have the anointing on our life, but yet we choose to subdue it? We choose not to use it when what we should be doing is taking it and filling up other people with it. That's what she did in this. We need to stop telling God why we can't do and start saying, by faith and by the anointing, I can do what you've called me to do. I will contend this with you this morning, that every single one of you have a calling on your life. If it's nothing more than saying good morning and smiling to someone, and that's what God has called you to do, you need to allow the anointing of God to give you the biggest smile that you can smile and the biggest hello and how are you today that you can do. Because if that's your calling, you need to be working in that calling. Stop asking or stop telling God why you can't and start asking God for jars. Stop saying, I can't do this because I don't have the education. I can't do this because I didn't grow up in a pastor's house. Can I tell you, being from Kentucky, I did grow up in a pastor's house. My daddy got saved when I was 3 years old and called to preach when I was six. But my lineage is coal miners and people who run, you know, those people who run illegal. My grandpa was an illegal runner, and it wasn't drugs. It's homemade shine. And I can still remember going to my grandpa's house, and he had the still out back. So you don't have to come from a lineage of the priests. You don't have to be from the house of the Levites in order to do what God has called you to do. That's not my heritage. My heritage, thank God my daddy got saved. You know, and thank God he was able to break that curse from from the rest of our lineage. But we can't use excuses anymore. Time is too short on this earth for us to limit God. It's too short on this earth for us to say, I'm not going to do what God called me to do. We need to get under the flow of the anointing and say, God, I'm going to do. There are some of you in this house, young people, that are called to preach. You need to answer that call. There are some of you older folks in this house that's called to go into the nursing homes and teach and preach to people and give them hope for their lives. There are some of you, like I said, that's just to be an encouragement to somebody. But we need to stop limiting God on what we've been called to do and step up and let God use the call that he has. So what is your talent? How much time do you have to give to God? What are your resources that you possess? You may say, you know, I don't have a whole lot. There's an old song that we used to sing down in Kentucky that said, little is much if God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it when you go in Jesus' name. When we go in Jesus' name, there's nothing that we can't do. And we're going to win our crown if we are obedient to the word of God and obedient to what he has done for us. Don't say my gift ain't much. There is a story in the Bible about a man named Moses. And the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? Paraphrased by Debbie. Well, I got this old stick right here. That stick was used to part the seas. That stick was used to bring a king to his knees. That stick was used to get water from a rock. Don't limit God in what you've got. If you've got something in your hand that he has given you, if you've got something in your heart that he has given you, if you've got something in your home that you think would be a blessing for you to use, like this woman did with this little bit of oil, or with the stick that Moses had, use what God has given you and don't be shy about it. Genesis, and in Genesis is where you're going to find that story. It was used to do all of these miraculous things for God. And what was it? You know, the Bible calls it a rod. In Kentucky, we call it a stick. He had a stick. If he can use a stick to part the Red Sea, what can he do with you? What can he do? A stick is an inanimate object, and it can't be used for anything unless you pick it up and use it. I'm alive. I'm breathing. What has God called me to do? What am I going to do that he wants me to do? Judges 15:15. I'm going to go there and read that one if I can find it here. Listen to this. If you think God can't just use any old thing, this, I beg to differ. It says in verse number 15, it says, Samson, as Samson and his captors arrived at Lehi, the Philistines shouted with glee. But then the strength of the Lord came upon Samson, and the ropes with which he was tied snapped like thread and fell from his wrists. And he picked up a donkey jawbone. Listen to what the word says. He picked up a donkey jawbone that was laying on the ground, and he killed thousands of Philistines with it. Tossing away the jawbone when he was finished, he remarked, "Heaps upon heaps, thousands upon thousands have I killed with the jawbone of an ass." If God can use the jawbone of one, then he can use one. Just saying. God can use whatever. He used, the story of Balak, God used a donkey to speak to the prophet. We've got to get in our spirits that God can use us no matter what we are, even if, you know, it's a jawbone. So it was what was available to him. We have to use what is at our hand. That's what this woman did at the beginning of this story. She used what she had at her hand, but she allowed God to do it. We say things like, "Oh, I could never preach. I've not been to seminary." Well, John the Baptist walked around eating bugs, half naked most of the time. I don't think he'd ever been to seminary, and yet God used him to baptize Jesus. What an honor was that! So we've got to stop looking for what we need out in the world to be able to do what God wants us to do. And we need to start looking to God and what he's already given us, and let him use that. When the vessels were full, according to the woman, she said, "Bring me another vessel." And he said, "There's not another." And then the oil stopped flowing. The oil represents the anointing. Can I tell you, when God gives you a job to do, the anointing is not going to stop flowing on you, and you don't have to worry about screwing up whatever it is that he's asked you to do. I will tell you, I really struggled with this after my husband died, about speaking anywhere else, because I felt like that the Bible talks about we're to be covered. And a woman, your covering is your husband if you're married. And I thought, "Lord, my covering is gone. How can I ever teach your word again? How can I ever do what you've called me to do again?" But I had to come to the realization, and God had to bring me there, that what he gave me was enough, with or without my husband. It was enough. No matter how small it is, allow God to use what he's given you, and it will become much. It will become that. So her vat of oil may have been small. It was enough, though, to pay off the debt. And then what the prophet told her, he said, "Go and pay off your debtors, and then you and your sons live on the rest." Isn't that just like the God that I serve? Not only does he give me what I need, but he gives me extra. He gives me more. The God that I serve is more than enough to take care of me, to take care of my needs, and then give me a little to live on. He gives me that little bit of extra that I need in the mornings. You know, whatever it is that we need, God's got it. If God has called you to it, he's enough to help you do it. His anointing is going to make us do it right.